Okay, are we ready? They're all leaving again. Please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3, and I apologize to sound people. Computer operators, I apologize for not giving you my scriptures early. I know you like to set those up in order early, and I just forgot. Nothing wrong with my memory, I just wasn't using it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did I say go to Revelation 3? Okay. And we're going to start reading in verse number 14 when we get wound up here. Thank you, Lord, for revelation knowledge. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you that I can be changed by the word of God. And you can be changed by the word of God. And all those other, we have areas where we want to be changed by the word of God. And we have areas where we want to be established by the word of God. Amen. You know, everything's not change. Some things need to be established. And so we just believe in Jesus' name that the Lord will establish us where we need established, and he will change us where we need changed. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, with 3:14 is where we're going to start. I'm going to read several verses, and then we're going to go back up and walk through these verses. To the angel, by the way, that word angel in most translations translates as messenger. In some, it actually translates as apostle, and others, it actually translates as pastor. So anyway, to the angel, or angel messenger, I'm going to call him, of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things says the Amen, and the faithful, and the true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. Now, let's establish the fact that this is Jesus. He's the Amen, he's the faithful, he's the true witness. He's the beginning of the creation of God. That's Jesus. That is, more accurately, that is the Word. Because he wasn't Jesus at the beginning of creation. But he's always been the Word. He was the Word. He is the Word. He will always be the Word. And Jesus is his human name. Do you know that? Or say, I know that. Or you could say, well, I didn't know that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is speaking here, and number 15 says, Jesus says, I know your works. I know your works. Ooh, that makes me want to check up on my works. If he knows, how many know you can't hide anything from God? 3:14 and 15. Book of Revelation, that's in the New Testament. Number 15, I know your works, and I know that they're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. Now, I don't pretend to know what that means. I've tried to know what it means. I thought I knew what it means. And I keep realizing I really don't know what it means as well as I'd like to. It's like, why did he want me cold? Well, anyway, we don't need to go there if we don't have the full answer, right? But it's like, why does he want me cold? Well, maybe he likes iced tea. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm, so we've got a temperature thing going on here, right? We've got cold, we've got hot, and we've got lukewarm. Anybody ever have a faucet in your house with a water heater connected to one of the pipes? Do you know that we have a cold water? Do you know that we have a hot water? Do you know we can make lukewarm water? Huh? Well, for whatever reason, God doesn't like lukewarm water. I guess he's not a health food nut. Because, you know, I've learned both from experience of working outdoors and sweating a lot, and also from, you know, reading up a little bit on health food, that lukewarm is the best way to go. If I drink lukewarm in the summer and lukewarm in the winter, I'm much healthier. My system works much better. Not that I don't drink hot and cold when I want hot and cold, but lukewarm's good for you. So why does God not like lukewarm? Everybody say, I don't know. We're going to get more to it here in a minute, and then we'll know more. And number 16, so then, that's an interesting concept. So then, in other words, there's something here, and that's the way it is. So then, this is what we're going to do about it. So then, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Some versions say spew you out of my mouth. Some say spit you out of my mouth. But do you get the picture? You know, picture for a minute, Jesus vomiting. That's hard to visualize, isn't it? But it says here that if he gets lukewarm water in his mouth, he's going to vomit. That's what it says in the New King James. What's it say in the Old King James? Spew, spew, yeah. Psh, spew. Number 17, because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, so I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore, be zealous and what? Repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. And to him that overcomes, I'll grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. That's throneship. He has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, you know, there's a lot of, what would be the word? A lot of metaphors, a lot of types and shadows. For instance, what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, we don't use our natural ear for that, do we? And so we got to realize there's a lot of spiritual talk here. It's not all literal. It may not be him literally, physically vomiting. If you'll study the book of Revelation, you'll realize that about 99.9% of it is spiritual like this. It is not in any way literal. Revelation is not literal. Those guys aren't going to come, that death guy's not going to come riding in on a gray horse. And there's not going to be a woman in the moon standing with the sun at her feet, or here's the other way around, and, you know, about to have a baby with a big red dragon there ready to eat her baby. That's not going to happen literally. These are spiritual concepts. And the book of Revelation is a spiritual dream, better put as a spiritual vision. It's a spiritual revelation, and we've got to approach it from that to have any understanding at all of it. But it's a beautiful book, and the Bible promises us a blessing if we'll just read it. He didn't say we have to understand. He said, if you just read it, I'll bless you. And so there's a lot of good to be found in Revelation. But keep in mind that we're talking about spiritual concepts here. And I want to go through these verses, and again, number 14, the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Who is speaking? We talked about that a minute ago. Who's speaking? It's Jesus, or the Word is speaking. Now, if there's anybody you want to listen to, it's the Word. Huh? Are you still with me? Nobody looking at me, everybody looking at your Bible. You still reading? Do I need to wait till you finish reading? I will, if you need it. Okay. And so it's the Word is speaking. And he's got some very important things to say, Reuben. I want to hear what the Word says. I want to hear what Jesus has to say. Don't you want to hear what Jesus has to say? Amen. And number 15, the Word says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. Now, what I want to establish first of all from this verse is that he knows everything about everybody. I know your works. He knows your don't works. He knows your no works. He knows you did works. He knows if you're going to work. He knows your past. He knows your present. And he knows your future. He knows it all. And I want to reinforce that a little bit looking at Matthew 9:4. In Matthew 9:4, be sure and write these things down if I go too fast for you to look them up. Matthew 9:4, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Okay, now what I want you to see here is that first part of the verse, Jesus knowing their thoughts. You know, this is pretty awesome. Had everybody that listened to Jesus known that he knew what they were thinking? All these disciples, when they're talking to the Lord about his latest discourse, if they realized that he knew everything they were thinking, they'd be thinking different, wouldn't they? So maybe we ought to take a look at that personally. If he knows what I'm thinking, maybe I better check up on what am I thinking. If he knows my thinking, is my thinking pleasing to him? Is he happy with my thinking? Because he knows it. That's a little bit scary. You're still with everybody's so quiet. You're absorbing like a sponge, right? Look at 1 Corinthians 3:20. We're still in the New Testament, Jasmine. 1 Corinthians 3:20, and again the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise that they are futile. Does he know everything? He even knows the thoughts of the wise. Now we usually think wise people must be having really good thoughts. Wise people must have wise thoughts. But here it says the Lord knows that those wise thoughts don't really amount to a hill of beans. That's one way to put it. Okay, look at Psalms 94:11. We're just picking out three different verses here to show us what we're, to reinforce this thought that we're having. 94:11 of Psalms, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. How do you say futile? Futile? Futile. Futile. That sounds like a noodle or a foodle. Futile. Anyway, I'm going to call it futile. You call it what you want. The Lord knows thoughts of man. He knows the thoughts of the wise, we saw in 1 Corinthians. Now he knows the thoughts of man. That didn't even include, you know, if I'm not wise, he still knows my thoughts. When he uses the term man here, he includes women too. Watch out, girls. He knows you're thinking. He knows who you're thinking about and what you're thinking about and why you're thinking it. If we realize that he knew about our thinking to the nth degree, I mean the fullest, most absolute degree, he knows our thinking. Ooh. Makes me want to get born again and repent twice. Are you still with me? Now, he knows everything about everyone, doesn't he? How many believe that he knew that Adam and Eve sinned? And yet, if you go back to the account, I'm not going to take time to go there. If you go back to the account, it said God was walking in the garden calling, Adam, where are you? Now, he knew where Adam was. But he wanted Adam to fess up. Adam, where are you? How many know that he realized, God knew that Cain killed Abel? You know, the Bible says he came along and he says, hey, Cain, where's your brother Abel? Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? God says, well, Abel's blood screaming at me from the ground. God knew that Cain had killed Abel, but he asked him, where's your brother? But he knew, didn't he? Yeah. And so he knows everything about everybody, no matter what. And back in Revelation, we're going to go back there, Revelation 3 again. He says, I know your works. Now, he's not talking about digging ditches or doing a 500-word theme for your teacher or whatever work you may be classified in. He knows your works. He's talking about spiritual things here. And if you go, you know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one either because I didn't research it, but the works of Jesus Christ are to believe on him more than anything else. He says that in John. I forget the chapter number. But in the book of John, he says the works of Jesus Christ are to believe on the Son that God has sent him. That's the greatest work that we can do, is to believe on Jesus. The greatest work we can do is to believe on Jesus. Now, if you believe on him, that means you believe in him. That means you believe what he says. That means you do what he says because you believe it. So something simple gets profound. Amen. Everybody's happy. You know, I guess this reminds me, this going back to cold and hot and lukewarm, reminds me of a song that the Rhema singers and band, as they called them, came out with back in 1991, 92, somewhere along in there. Maybe 1990. You don't remember 1990? Born in 91. Yeah, okay. You don't remember 90. Rhema singers and band came out with this song. Come on. Get in, get out, or get run over. Anybody remember that? I have it on a tape, cassette tape somewhere in my stuff. Get in, get out. They're singing this, you know. They're all up there just singing, professional singing. Get in, get out, or get run over. Well, that came from a teaching that Brother Hagin did. If you've ever been to his meeting, some of you had the honor of being to some of his meetings. Brother Hagin would get up and he'd teach the Word of God. And when he got through, his singers and band would get up and they'd have a song. Inspired by the Holy Ghost, they would have a song that fit the message he had just preached. They do it almost every service. It was beautiful. It was just beautiful. So get in, get out, or get run over. That's, you know, hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm. Get off the fence. God says, you know, I know he knows everything. He knows whether we're going to be hot or cold, but he wants us to know. He wants us to know, are we going to be hot or cold? He says, quit being wishy-washy, quit being lukewarm. You know, get off the fence. Make up your mind, boy. You're going to get in, get out, or get run over. You're going to be hot or cold or be lukewarm. Now, you don't want to be lukewarm. You're going to see this in a minute. Because number 18 says, so then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That is rough. Now, again, this is not Jesus literally vomiting, okay? But spiritually speaking, open your minds here with me. Spiritually speaking, it is. Jesus vomiting because he will not allow lukewarmness in his body. Who's the body of Christ? The church down the street, right? And so what happens to your physical body? My wife ate something she shouldn't have eaten a few days ago, and we can go somewhere and we can, you know, eat a nice meal, and in 30 minutes she'll throw it all up. Something didn't agree with her. In about 24 hours I'll do the same thing. I'll throw it up. I run about 24 hours behind her on our system, the way it acts. Any kind of food poisoning, and she—I mean, 15 to 30 minutes, and it's up and gone. She gets well, and I suffer in pain for 24 hours, and then I dump it. It's just the way our systems work. But you know, I'm just explaining vomit. If you're trying to explain vomit, so you'll know what I'm talking about. But the body of Christ doesn't like lukewarm, and it will throw it out. I don't understand why he doesn't like lukewarm. That's his business. But he doesn't like it. I keep running you back and forth from spiritual to natural. Now, this is real important that you see the last line on 16 and the first line on 17. I'm going to read them together. He says, okay, you're lukewarm, neither cold or hot. I will vomit you out of my mouth because... If you're following along in your Bible, you notice 16 and 17 join at the hip. Because all of a sudden he's telling us something. In fact, he's telling me what I said I didn't know. I said, I don't know why you don't look like lukewarm. Well, he's getting ready to tell us. Would you like to see it? I'll vomit you out because of what you say. Did you see it there? Somebody read that. Read that. Does it say because you say? Have you ever heard a sermon or a teaching on the power of your voice, power of your words, what you say? Come on. You ever hear that? Is what I say, what you say, is that important? Everybody's going like this. Yeah. Well, he'll vomit you out because you say what? You say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And I'll vomit you out of my mouth because you do not know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Did you see? It's, all of a sudden it becomes clear why he's vomiting. Because of what we say when we say we've got it all, I got it made. And he's vomits us out because we don't know how wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked we are. In other words, he wants us to know where we are. He wants us to know where we stand. He wants us to know if we're a Christian or not. He wants us to need him. Now, I was not satisfied with the rendering of this particular version because in my heart, as I've been praying about this particular teaching for several days, and in my heart, I wasn't coming up with the wording that I needed because I kept feeling like there was something more spiritual about this. It's like, what's wrong with being rich? Well, we teach on prosperity. And you say you're going to vomit me out because I say I'm rich and have become wealthy, have need of nothing. Well, isn't that where we're going? To get rich, wealthy, and have need of nothing? Isn't that what prosperity's been teaching us? And so I haven't been satisfied. As I prayed about it, meditated on it, and read it again and again and again, I wasn't satisfied with what it's trying to tell me because the words just weren't, what's wrong with being wealthy and rich, Lord? Why do you call that lukewarm? Why are you going to vomit me out because I said that? Well, guess what I did? I started looking at other versions. I know you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to use the one that came, you know, that Paul used. But I don't know how many versions of the Bible there are. I think I have about 20, 22, something like that, versions of the Bible. And I think there must be 100 in the world. They're just goodles and goodles. I don't know how many. Oodles and goodles, you know, that's even more. But I'm going to give you 10 of them. Are you ready? I started with AMP, you know, AMP, A, alphabetical, we'll go with that. It says, I'll vomit you out because you say, I am in need of nothing. And then the Berkeley version says, I'll vomit you out because I need nothing. And then the better version, that's what it is. It's called the better version of the New Testament. That's the name of the version, that better version. I probably have the only copy in the world. The better version says, I'll vomit you out because I have no need of anything. The Message. Oh, I like The Message. But I have to be careful about using the message, or just you read the text and go sit down, because it preaches itself. You don't have to spend 45 minutes explaining what King James tried to tell you. Anyway, the message says, I'll vomit you out because you're saying, I got it made. Where am I? The Moffat. Anybody have a Moffat translation? It says, I'll vomit you out because you say, I'm rich, I'm well off, and I have need of nothing. And then we go to the New Century Version. I'll vomit you out because you say, I'm rich and I have become wealthy and I do not need anything. They're still saying the same thing, aren't they? All these seem to agree that the same thing. Well, then I got up to the New King James, and we just read that. I'll vomit you out because you say, I have need of nothing. Now, all of a sudden, the light came on when I read the Weist Version. I like the Weist Version. I use it quite a bit. It says in the Weist Version what the Lord had been saying in my heart by the Spirit. Would you like to hear it? I'll vomit you out because it actually, let me back up. It says, I'll vomit you out. You are lukewarm because you are saying, I am wealthy in this world's goods and have gotten spiritual riches and have not need of any one thing. And you're lukewarm because you do not have a clear and absolute knowledge of the fact that as for you, you're really wretched and an object of pity. That's wordy. That's wordier than the Amplified. But what I found here that really blessed my heart was because the Holy Spirit was speaking this to me. I'll vomit you out and you are lukewarm because you're saying I'm wealthy in this world's goods and have gotten spiritual riches and have not need of any one thing. Huh? Yeah, you think you've arrived. All of a sudden, it is talking about what the Holy... Because the Spirit of the Lord was speaking this same thing to me. It's easy for us to get so mature, so seasoned, so well-versed, that we think, I'm rich in spiritual things, and I really don't need to hear all that other stuff. I went to... One of Brother Kenneth Hagin's meetings in Albuquerque years ago, and we had been fellowshipping at a home meeting prior to that once a week, a lady's house up in the mountains. And she came down, several of us had been getting together at this home meetings, and we came and went to Brother Kenneth Hagin's meeting, and he taught one of his faith messages that's quite popular that he's taught 10,000 times. And she was beside herself, almost angry at the end of the service. She said, I've already heard all that old stuff. I've heard that time and again. I've heard that, so I don't need to hear that anymore. She was just kind of ugly. She had become so rich in spiritual things that she had allowed her spirit to rise up in pride to the point she didn't need to hear the word anymore. I don't care if it's a 3-year to the 4-year to the 5-year-old class where they're teaching them to be obedient to the parents. You need to hear that one more time. You cannot get enough of Jesus. You cannot get enough of the Word. You cannot get enough of the teaching of the Word. You cannot get enough of the simplicity of the Word, because every bit of the Word, every word in the Word is a life producer, and it's creative, and it'll just reveal to you things about God that you have no idea was even there. And so what he's saying here, I'm going to put this, kind of bring this together right here. He says, you're lukewarm because you say, you don't need me. Well, I don't need to go to church. I'm gifted. I talk to God anywhere I want to talk to God. He's everywhere. I don't need to go to church. That's lukewarm. You can be coming to church every Sunday and sit there with an attitude that, what's he going to preach again? This same old thing again and again. I wish he'd get something new. That's lukewarm. Because you're saying, I don't need anything. I'm rich. I don't need anything. I'm rich in spiritual riches. I don't need to hear that. So this gives us a clue as to what lukewarm is. Prideful attitude. It doesn't need God. It doesn't need more of the word. Now, let me back way up to about... A couple of weeks ago, I decided I want to make a list of 10 things that show me what lukewarm is. And I started going, my lightning fast brain starts seeing people. That one's lukewarm because they do this. That one's lukewarm because they don't do that. That one's lukewarm because they look like this. That one's lukewarm because of what they did there. That one's lukewarm because of and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just really got on my case, and he said, stop that. He said, you don't know their heart. You don't know their heart. One of the many things he reminded me of is an evangelist that we used to listen to that did great and mighty exploits in the name of Jesus. I mean, people would come out of wheelchairs, you know, crutches would go flying across the room. I mean, cancers would fall off of people and they'd vomit up cancers. I mean, this guy really had it. And you know what? He died at an early age as an alcoholic. He wasn't lukewarm, he's hot. But he died as an alcoholic. Nobody knew his heart but God. Nobody knew his heart but God. And yet God used him in such a mighty way. But only God knew that he was an alcoholic. His own family didn't know it. Interesting, huh? And so, you know, as I'm making this list, okay, this is how I tell if so-and-so's lukewarm. My wife's lukewarm because, you know, she wears pants. And, you know, sister so-and-so is lukewarm because she walks funny. Brother so-and-so is lukewarm because he's got to have a puff on the cigarette, you know, at least one a day, just a puff, just, you know, not quite clean yet, you know. I can't see their heart. That's why he said in Matthew 7:1, chapter 7, verse 1, he said, don't judge. He could have said it like this, and it'd be just so accurate. He said, don't judge because you can't see their heart. Let me do that. I'll take care of that because I can see their heart. And so we don't make the judgment on who's lukewarm. That's his business. He's the only one who can see the heart. Now, Reuben's lukewarm because, you know, he didn't come to church the other night. His heart was right. His body just wouldn't get off the easy chair. He'd worked 12 hours and he was tired. He couldn't make it. But his heart was right. So I can't judge him, say he's lukewarm because he didn't come to church the other night. And so you see, our concept of lukewarm is sometimes real elementary, juvenile. Aren't you glad I didn't finish my 10-point list? You'd have been in it. But I'm so glad that the word is coming alive to me as I've made this study, because he says so clearly, verse 16 and 17 again, because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, why are you lukewarm? Because you say, why is he vomiting you out? Because you say, and you say these things about, I don't need Jesus anymore. I got it made. I don't need the word. You know, I'm already in the word. You know, I read my chapter a day. That's lukewarm. Amen. Okay. Where am I? Anybody know? Another thing, as I meditated on this and prayed about it, yesterday the Holy Spirit just said something so simple to me. He said, you want to know more about who's lukewarm? I said, well, yeah. He says, quit looking at people. Look at the Bible. So he said, quit looking at the congregation. Look at the Bible. He said, who in the Bible got rejected and spewed out of my mouth? Who in the Bible got, so to speak, vomited out of my mouth? Well, there's a bunch of them. And so we can tell by their characteristics and their works that they were lukewarm, simply because he spewed them out of his mouth. And he spews lukewarm out, right? And so if he spewed somebody out, they must have been lukewarm. Are we on track here? Well, let's just start with a short list just to kind of make this more clear. Adam and Eve. If anybody should have been serving God and hot, I mean, it was between Adam and Eve. They were made by God's own hands. They were breathing the breath that he breathed into them. I mean, talk about getting hot for Jesus. These people should have been hot of the hot and the hottest of that. But what happened? They got rejected, cast out of the garden, kicked out, vomited out because they got lukewarm and said, we don't need God. We'll make up our own mind. No matter what he said about that tree, we'll make up our own mind. We'll take care of this. You know, we're people now. We're human beings. So we know what to do. We don't need God. We'll make the decision. He won't know it anyway. They got spewed out, brother. They got vomited out because of high-headedness and rebellion against God. What's lukewarm? Rebellion against God. What's lukewarm? I know more about God and his rules than he does. That's lukewarm. Look at somebody else that got spewed out. Esau. Remember Jacob and Esau? Esau got totally rejected. He lost his birthright. Totally rejected. He got spewed out. He lost his blessing. He lost his inheritance. He lost his spiritual blessing. I mean, he was tied in with Abraham's family. When you're tied in with Abraham, brother, you're tight with God. He had everything going for him by his bloodline, and yet he got vomited out of the mouth of God because of his pride. Are you still with me? How about Lot's wife? Remember Lot's wife? You know, she left Sodom, and what did she do? She turned around and started lusting after the sin that she left. She turned into a pillar of salt. Did she get vomited out? Brother, if God turns you into a pillar of salt, that's just as bad as getting vomited out by Jesus. That's rejection. When you cease to be human, that's rejection. What was she doing to be lukewarm? What was she doing to get spewed out of God's mouth? She was looking back on sin. When God delivered her from sin, God set her free from that. He drug her by the hand, said, honey, come out of that bar. You don't belong there anymore. Get away from those paganistic devil words. Come on, I'm dragging you out of there. She turned and went back. That's lukewarm. You still with me? King Saul, first king, anointed king over Israel. Was he anointed by the prophet? Was he anointed by the Holy Spirit? Was he a chosen king? I mean, head and shoulders above all the other men. A prince of a man. Was he rejected? Samuel the prophet, after Saul did his own sacrifice and didn't wait for the prophet, as the Holy Spirit had instructed, he said, I don't need the prophet nor the Holy Spirit's instructions. I'll make up my mind. I'm the king. I'll make up my mind what I'm going to do about this sacrifice thing. We're going to go ahead and do it now because we had other things to do. And the prophet Samuel said clearly, God has rejected you from being king in Israel. He could have said it like this. God has spewed you out of his mouth because you became lukewarm. Didn't need God anymore. Is anybody in here tonight? How about Judas Iscariot? Did Judas Iscariot get spewed out? Did he get vomited out? I would say so. He was a disciple. He was an apostle. He was there passing out the loaves and the fishes when Jesus multiplied them. He watched the miracles take place. He watched the blind eyes open. He watched Jesus and Peter walking on the water. The man Judas was a church member, if there was ever a church member. He was in the right church at the right time, following the right pastor, but he became lukewarm because pride filled his heart, and he says, I need that 30 pieces of silver. Jesus won't know. Jesus will never know. Aren't you glad you have a revelation that Jesus knows everything? So you won't go lusting after 30 pieces of silver? He got spewed out because of the pride in his heart. He didn't need to follow Jesus anymore. He's going to do his thing. He didn't need Pastor Jesus anymore. He didn't need the Good Shepherd anymore. That's lukewarm when you don't need the Good Shepherd anymore. Ananias and Sapphira, the New Testament, book of Acts. And these are tongue-talking, Holy Ghost filled, church-going, tithe-giving, on fire for God, it would appear, hanging out with the right crowd, going to the right church, taking care of business in a New Testament way, and then in the secret place of their home and in the secret place of their two evil hearts, they said, you know, we want to look good. We're going to sell this piece of property, and everybody's doing this. It's real popular right now. The Holy Spirit's leading people to sell their property and give the money to the church so we can get this church built, get this move of God going. But, you know, they've been taking some really big offerings lately. Let's go ahead and sell the property, and we'll keep about half of it and put it in the cookie jar for a rainy day. And we'll take the other half down and we'll give it to the apostles and it'll make us look good. They were in the right place, doing the right thing, speaking in tongues, and they got lukewarm. What happened? Peter said, why'd you light the Holy Ghost? Bang! Woman comes in. Why'd you light the Holy Ghost? Bang! I'm glad. That's heavy. They got lukewarm. How do I know they were lukewarm? Because they got spewed out of the mouth. You follow this? They got spewed out. They got vomited out of the body of Christ, brother. Because they got lukewarm. He got lukewarm because they didn't need Jesus anymore. They didn't need the word anymore. They didn't need the apostles anymore. They didn't need the New Testament message anymore. They're going to do their thing. You're still with me, right? How about a third of the angels that followed Lucifer? I mean, these dudes are in heaven. And with some form or the other, you know, we don't know a lot about it, but in some form or the other, they're ruling and reigning with Lucifer, the archangel. I mean, they got it made. When you're an angel ruling from heaven, go flying through the air, you know, appear, disappear. You can punch them and it don't hurt. These angels got it made. Because the Bible says their heart got full of pride. They didn't need God anymore. They're going to be their own God. They didn't need to go to church anymore. They got their own church. They don't need the word of God anymore. They'll write their own word. Did the angels get spewed out of heaven? They get vomited out of heaven? Then they must have been lukewarm. Well, the list goes on. Simon the sorcerer, Paul had to deal with him. He got spewed out. He got rejected. You still with me? I don't want to get lukewarm. You don't want to get lukewarm. And if there for anything in your heart is saying to you that you don't really need God, or that you have enough of God, or that you're really spiritual enough, or you're worded enough, or you're taught enough, if you get any of those thoughts, that's lukewarm. Remember what the word says here? You are lukewarm and I'll spew you out because you say, I don't need nothing. You still with me, right? I'm trying to keep up with myself. This is verse 18. I'm just going to go through it because I don't really have very many comments on it. I'm asking the Lord to show me more about verse 18. But he says, okay, you've got all these problems. You're lukewarm. I'm about to vomit you out if you don't correct this. He says, and you're poor and you're blind and you're naked, so I counsel you. And now this is good news, folks. If you or somebody you know happens to be lukewarm and they don't need Jesus anymore, there's still some good news. He says, I'll counsel you. Now it's time to take counsel. When we receive counsel from the Lord and counsel from the Word, that means we're on the right track again. And you know somebody that's lukewarm, if the Lord reveals to you that you're lukewarm, start taking counsel from the Word. Start taking counsel from the Holy Spirit. He'll counsel you out of that mess and get you hot again. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire. That means it might hurt a little. That you may be rich, and I'm going to add to this, may be rich in real spiritual things. And white garments speak of the righteousness of Christ. That you may be clothed with this righteousness, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. He really wants to fix this lukewarm thing. Jesus really wants to fix the lukewarm thing. The word's going all out to try to fix this. Lukewarm needs to be a temporary condition. Because Jesus says, I want to fix it. Number 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. In other words, you may get a spanking, but it'll hurt good. Therefore, be zealous and what? What's the last word in verse 19? Repent, and I think most of us know by now, we've taught on it many times. Repent means turn, go the other way. It doesn't mean stop and feel sorry for it and just keep going into it. Stop and feel sorry about what you're doing and just go do it some more. Stop and feel sorry about it and repent, Lord, I'm so sorry I did that, and then go do it some more. No. Repent, turn, go the other way. About face. Look at this, number 20. The word says, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. If you want to pray about somebody that's lukewarm, whether it be you or somebody else, pray that they hear the knock and open the door. Pray that they hear the knock and open the door. Pray that they hear the knock and open the door because the counselors there are ready to fix it. The counselors there ready to tell them what to do. The counselor, Lord, Lord, help those babies to hear the knock and open the door. Help that old man across the street to hear the knock and open the door. You still with me? And look what happens if you open the door. I'll come in with him and dine with him and he with me. And that's when you go to singing that old song, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table any time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Remember that? You do? I tell you what, Jesus is the answer. And verse 21 gives us a promise that is just beyond our understanding to conceive. To him that overcomes, let's put it this way, to him that overcomes this lukewarm condition, I'll grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Think about this. For those that overcome the lukewarm condition, he says, you get throneship. I don't have the words. I don't have the vocabulary. I don't have the capacity to tell you how glorious that would be. It's not in any human capacity to say it. to sit in the throne, ruling with Christ himself as he sits in the throne of his Father. And that place is promised and reserved for those that overcome the lukewarm temporary condition. Not only do we see here a clear view of the lukewarm problem, we see a clear view of the solution to the lukewarm problem. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, sir, that you will help us, each and every one, individually and corporately, help us to recognize, first of all, any lukewarmness that might have creeped into our own hearts. And without being judgmental, help us to recognize in a prayerful, compassionate way any lukewarmness we might see creeping into someone else's life. Help us, Lord. Help us to be quick to overcome any lukewarm condition, because we do not want to be spewed out of your mouth. We do not want to be rejected by your body. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that these words will be meaningful to us tonight, that we'll digest them, that we will enjoy them, that we will flourish and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to get so on fire for Jesus that we forget what lukewarm ever was. We forget what it ever felt like because we're so on fire for Jesus. Lord, we want to be firebrands for you. We want to be torches for you. We want to be the sun in all of his brightness for you. Hot, hot, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to turn you loose with that. I know we've got some folks that need to get home early, work day and school night. And did you learn anything tonight? I did. I've been learning for 2 weeks on this, and I learned a little more tonight. So, as is my custom, I will say, go ahead and give a kiss and a hug to about 50 or 60 people.